Turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 24. We have spent 6 weeks on chapter 23, and we're going to try to cover chapter 24 today. Luke chapter 24. Boy, what great singing, wasn't it? And Valerie, thank you so much. Weren't those good songs, good reminders? And just a good reminder for us, and Keith sharing. Now let me just share a couple of quick thoughts with you from this passage of Scripture. And we're going to try to get through Luke 24, and don't panic if I'm running behind. We'll just not spend as much time on the last few points, but I know where we want to spend most of our time, so we'll hopefully get through this. But there's something in this passage for every one of us. So if you're here today and you're thinking, well, I don't know if there's any application here for me, there is. There's something here for Christians. There's something here for non-Christians. There's something here for Christians that have maybe drifted away, maybe haven't been as faithful to church. There's something here for, and there's answers here to questions that you might have. Now, we began this journey, and you'll remember I responded with in the beginning and read Luke 9:51. Just mark that on your notes there, and let me encourage you to keep the your notes in front of you so you could walk through the text with me. But you'll remember in 9:21, it says, when the days were coming to a close for him to be taken up. Now, we're at that place where he's ready to be taken up. And when you think about that application, the time for him to be taken up is a reference to his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And he goes on to say in that text, and we tried, he determined to journey to Jerusalem. So he started this journey to Jerusalem, this Jerusalem journey, Jesus. And between chapter 9:51 and when we get to the end of the book and chapters 23 and 24, you just see a number of different characters that Jesus encountered on this journey. Now, in chapter 23, we've gone through the crucifixion. We've gone through all the false accusations. It started about 4 a.m. on Friday morning. And they had the trials and the false accusations. And then they compromised. Although they knew he was innocent, they still turned him over to the people because they were determined to crucify him. And so you had that leading right up to this chapter. And you remember at the end of chapter 23, they're at the burial. And it says in verse 54, it was the preparation day and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed along and they observed the tomb, how his body was placed. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the command. Now, they were really breaking the law, which was interesting on their part because they weren't supposed to be working on the Sabbath, but they were preparing for his body. And still hasn't sunk in what he has taught them, and he's going to remind them of that. And so you see here that like most stories on that involve a journey, and you see this journey that Jesus has taken. And you see that in chapter 24, we're going to see that his emphasis on the resurrection. And there's a statement in your notes there that Christianity stands or falls on the resurrection. You see, if there was no resurrection, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, then all this is foolish. It's just a lie. So the resurrection is something he has taught, something he has preached, something he has shared. And must have been a Baptist church because sometimes we listen, but we don't quite comprehend everything, do we? And so he was, and it takes a while for it to sink in, and that's what makes this story so interesting. Now, I've divided this into five sections. Warren Wiersbe had an interesting application. He has a way with words, and he said when you come to this chapter, verses 1 through 12, you find them forgetting the word. In verses 13 through 35, you find them learning the word. In 36 through 45, you have them receiving the word. And in 46 through 53, you have them sharing the word of God. And so you begin with me as we share this last part of the journey that we've been talking about, and this one final miracle. And I remind you, as we think about it, you know, nothing that has happened before the resurrection has any meaning if Christ did not rise from the grave. I mean, his virgin birth was wasted, was worthless. His perfect obedience to the Heavenly Father to do the work that he had been called to do on earth, that's meaningless. All his miracles, all his teaching, all of these are meaningless without the resurrection. And so the crucifixion means nothing if Christ remains dead. And boy, I love that song, "Up from the Grave He Arose." See, there's no other religion that can sing that song because their leaders are still in the tomb, but not ours. Amen? So make sure you understand and you keep a good, solid application to this. Now, I want to remind you of what he had Luke had shared when he wrote this, and just listen to me carefully. If you go back to chapter 1, he says, "Many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as the original eyewitnesses and the servants of the word handed them down to us. So it also seemed good to me, since I have carefully investigated everything from the very first, to write to you an orderly sequence, most honorable Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed." Now, that was his introduction to the book. He talked about the eyewitnesses, and that last verse again, "so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed." And so we see in this great portion that he finalizes this time of instruction, and so you find very first application there, and let me encourage you to keep in mind the central idea. Jesus rose from the dead to change lives. Now listen. If you and I can read this passage of Scripture, and if we can ponder, if we can meditate, and I encourage you just to meditate this morning. Open up your mind and your heart to God and just listen to the Holy Spirit. Because the Scripture, regardless of where we are, Jesus is always about bringing change, changing lives. And you certainly see that here. He rose from the dead to change lives. And you and I ought to leave here today with some type of change, something that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us about, something we ought to confess or pray about or recommit back to the Lord. And I hope you're open to change this morning. I hope your mind and your heart is open to what he has for you. Now, let's look at these events, and you'll see that, first of all, they opened the tomb. And you see verses chapter 24, 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, that was Sunday, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. One of the other gospels told us that they were concerned because when we get to the tomb, what are we going to do with that large stone that's been rolled in front of the tomb and to enclose it? But God had already taken care of that. Verse 3, they went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. And they remembered. All of a sudden, they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes, so he went away amazed at what had happened. Isn't it interesting that they're still amazed? And the Spirit of God is going to help this to sink in for them eventually. It's early in the morning. It's dawn. It's Sunday morning. And you see this scene here, it's just amazing. They encounter certain surprises in this scene. And you see, first of all, they're surprised to find the stone had been rolled away. And then secondly, you find they're surprised, the two men in dazzling clothes. I'd be surprised too, wouldn't you? If I were in the graveyard and I saw two men in dazzling clothes, I think I would be ready to skedaddle, to run, to get out of there, to do something. But you see that certainly happened. The women were terrified, and so they bowed down to the ground. They didn't know what else to do. Now, in verses 5 through 7, you see the message there. And boy, these are precious. Listen, let me encourage you to, if you don't have a Bible, you're marking in, mark those verses, but mark them in your mind and in your heart, and read these over again later. Because you'll notice in verse 5 what he says to them. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. We are looking for the living among the dead. He's not here. He is risen. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Now, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but can you picture this? They're walking through the graveyard. And he said, why are you looking for the living in this graveyard? And that's basically what they're saying. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Don't you remember? Boy, it'd be good for all of us sometimes to sit down with our open Bible and remember some of the things that God has spoken to us about. Can you remember occasions when you sat down and you're in the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit began to speak to you about some things that you need to be reminded of? And so we see this message here. He's not here. He is risen. And so they began to comprehend. They had not remembered his teaching. They had forgot the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, you remember the first four verses, Paul said, this is the gospel. It is the death. It is the burial. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And even though you're a Christian and you've received Christ, maybe it's been many years that you've become a believer, you still ought to be excited and amazed about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you, if you're truly saved, you realize that on that day he changed your life forever. And he gave you a purpose for getting up in the morning. Because there's a day that the Lord has made and it's before you, and God has so much for us. They had forgot the gospel. And it's not until they remember the Lord's teaching about the empty tomb that their lives began to change. Now, you and I have the benefit of looking back at the whole story. Remember, they're hearing all this for the first time. This hasn't been written yet. They're thinking of the Old Testament and the teaching, and they're thinking of his teaching. And we're all guilty of sometimes forgetting. And listen, let me encourage you today. Don't you leave here today if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about something. Don't you dare to leave here today and slough it off and to go your way and forget about it. because God always has something for us from His Word, and He speaks to us always. There's always something in the Word for us. And so we see this great time. They're remembering the gospel because they had forgotten, they had wandered away. Have you ever wandered away? We're studying Hebrews in our morning Bible study, and the author of Hebrews refers to it as drifting. Sometimes we drift. We wander away. Peter wandered away, didn't he? At the cross. And Jesus told him he was going to do that. And he turned around and did it. After Jesus told him, you're going to do this. You'd have thought he would have taken that to heart and said, man, I'm not going to go there. And then you see in verses 8 through 12 there that the ladies remember. They report back to the 11 and they go to all the rest of them. And these ladies traveled with Jesus. They financed his meetings. They took care of him. They were always about. But they didn't believe them. Isn't that like a bunch of men, ladies? I told them the truth. They didn't believe me. You think male chauvinism is alive today. Boy, it was alive back then, too. I'd consider them male chauvinists, wouldn't you? And Peter, Peter always, he was always a doubter. He had to jump down. Can't you see him running back to see for himself? And he reminds them. Now think about how prejudiced these men were. Think about how emotional, how they were given to hysteria, intellectually untrustworthy. You see, back in Bible times, these women did not have, they weren't even allowed to vote. They were looked down upon. They were second-class citizens. And if we're truly saved today, we'll be beyond that. Amen? God has blessed this church with women who are godly and who are busy serving the Lord, and we praise God for that. Don't ever take that for granted. And so we see here, they are applying the scriptures, they're beginning to remember, and boy, they almost missed the greatest story that Jesus wanted to share with them in those last few verses. And so Peter went away amazed at what had happened. Now look at the second point there, the open tomb, the open scriptures. Look with me at verses 13 through 27, and I'm going to read quickly through that, and then I'm going to come back and share some things before we finish it. Now the same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles. It was about a 6.5-7 mile walk from Jerusalem to where they wanted to go. And together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near, and he began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Isn't that interesting? They were prevented. Now, we don't know if because he's in his glorified body now, so he might look different. And you say, well, how do you know he's in his glorified body? Because you're going to see he just shows up in a room. He walks right through the walls. He walks right through the doors. But they didn't recognize him. God, I think, sort of closed their minds so they didn't recognize him. And it's just fascinating. And they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, what is this dispute that you're having with each other as you're walking? And they stopped walking and they looked at him discouraged. Can you visualize them stopping? And they looked at him, Jesus, and the one named Cleophas answered him. He's the only one that is named here. Many commentators think that the other disciple was perhaps his wife, but we don't know that. Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happened there in these days? Now, you with me? You listening? Who's talking? The disciples are talking. To whom are they talking? They're talking to Jesus. And they say to Jesus, don't you even know the things that have gone on here? Don't you know what's happened here? God has a sense of humor, I believe. Don't you? And I think they have no recognition there. And he says, what things? They're talking to the crucified, risen Savior. What things? So they said to him the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. We were hoping he'd be a political leader, and he was going to help us to overtake the Roman government, and he would be our president. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported, and they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. He said to them, "How foolish." Some commentators have said what he really said there was, "You fools." Now, we don't use that word, hopefully, today. Kids, young people don't use that word. That's sort of a nasty word today, isn't it? But he said, "How foolish." Now, why did he call them foolish? "And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." The prophets taught you this in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is about the Messiah's coming. The New Testament, the Gospels, is about he's here. And he came for the purpose. "Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Boy, I love that portion of scripture. Any preacher would love, anybody that teaches a word or preaches loves that portion, because that word interpreted there, it means some of your versions will say expounded. Some of you have that word expounded. Some will say explained. Now, that's what Bible teaching, Bible preaching ought to be, to explain what the Word of God says. That's what you as a believer, when you're reading the Word of God, don't read it just to check your block off. Read it to listen. Have an open mind and realize the Scriptures are open and that God has something there he wants to relate to you that's very important. And so he taught them from the Old Testament, from Moses and the prophets, and he explained it to them concerning all that was in the Scriptures. Boy, what a Bible study that would have been. Wouldn't you love to? I mean, they got a Bible school training right there in that one session. Can you imagine Jesus just opening up his heart and teaching them? And so they were open to the Scriptures. And imagine being known for asking Jesus whether he knew about the crucifixion. Boy, I bet they kept that a secret. I bet they didn't pass that around too much. You won't believe what we said to Jesus on the road. We didn't know it was Jesus. And we questioned him. That's hilarious, isn't it? Jesus is the only one in the world who truly does know what happened on the cross. And then you see there our Lord has a sense of humor. He plays along with them, and he goes through those questions with him. And now the problem here is not intellectual. The problem is not that they didn't know some things they need to know. The problem is spiritual. And see, that's where you and I have to make application. When you open the Word of God, anytime you open the Word of God, God is speaking to you about something you need to hear, something you need to know. And if you're just zipping through it without stopping and asking yourself, what does God have for me in this? And you see that second, that second step there that he taught them, and he wanted to continue his teaching, because if you're not rooted in the Bible, if you don't listen, and if you don't apply, all of us should be saying right now to the Holy Spirit, what do I need? What do I need from this text? What changes in my life do I need to make? What are you speaking to me about? Now you see number three there in verse 28. They're opened eyes. Look at verse 28. They came near to the village where they were going, and they gave the impression that he was going farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, And now the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. Isn't it amazing? All this conversation, all this is going on. They still haven't recognized him. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and he gave it to them. You see, their custom was, the table was a small table, and you would recline on the floor, and you would recline back on one arm, and then you would use your other arm to eat, and that's how you reclined, and that's what he's indicating there. And they took the bread, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were what? Open. Are your eyes open today? Say, what does he mean by that? Is your heart open to the scriptures? Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. And notice, they said to each other, weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? Now, what brought the recognition? He doesn't tell us. Was it the fact that they invited him in to their home and he served them the meal? And as he's reclined and he's breaking bread, perhaps they saw the nail stars in his hand. And all of a sudden, a light bulb went on. Have you ever felt that way when we're studying the Bible? Light bulb goes on, bang. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And sometimes you say, goodness. Barbara and I will often say after reading a portion of Scripture, and boy, as many times as I've read through the Bible, and boy, I just didn't notice that one. Isn't that amazing? And that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit working from an open scriptures to open in our eyes. And then it goes on to say, they recognized him. They said to each other, weren't our hearts burning within us? Has your heart ever burned? Have you ever been reading the scriptures? And boy, the Holy Spirit was speaking and something just jumped out and pressed your heart. I heard one preacher say one time, he said, man, there are some times when I'm in the Word and I just have to get up, take my shoes off, and get into bed and just jump up and down. We're not going to go that far. I'm not saying that'll make you holy. We had a Christian school in my former church for years, and we sent our ladies to a Christian college for an education conference before the school year began, and they were at this conference the whole week, and on a Wednesday night, they were looking for a church, and I said, well, won't you go out to Dr. Seitler? Have you ever heard of Harold Seitler? Outside of, there in South Carolina, and I'd heard him preach, but I didn't know anything about his church, and I said, won't you go out to Dr. Seitler's church on Wednesday night? They wouldn't go to Wednesday night service. They called me up later, and they said, preacher, you won't believe what happened in that service. They said Dr. Seitler was preaching, and a guy jumped up out of his seat and ran up front, and he picked up one of the vases of flowers, and he ran back down the aisle, ran around outside, came and set it down, and then sat back in his seat. And now they were terrified and amazed at that time because they weren't sure what they were in. But I'm not saying that that's what you ought to do, and I'm not saying that's the necessary thing to do, but I've been in situations sometimes. I've been listening to a speaker. I've been listening to people on podcasts sometimes, and I feel like I need to drive over to the side of the road and stop because God has all of a sudden touched me about something that I need to listen to. He's opened my heart. He's opened my eyes. Has that ever experienced you? You say, I've never had that kind of experience, Pastor. Well, maybe there's something missing in the way you're approaching the scriptures. Notice what he goes on to say there. Weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures? Listen, you have to have an explanation of the scriptures. If you're reading the scriptures personally, try to understand what it's saying because you're not going to make application if you don't know what it says. Verse 33, that very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together. So they got up, they made this seven-mile journey. And after they realized they had met the Savior, they went back to Jerusalem seven more miles. Verse 34, who said, the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. Then they began to describe what has happened on the road and how he made known to them the breaking of the bread. Look at number four there. They opened their minds. Open your heart and open your minds. You know, the heart is what reaches in and touches our emotions. And sometimes when we feel emotional about the Lord, don't fight that when you feel emotion. When we sing songs like we sang before, if you just stop and start thinking about the words, I don't know about you, but I find myself somewhat emotional because he's reflecting on the resurrection and the crucifixion, and that's the gospel, and we ought to sometimes reflect on that. So the story's developing here. Doesn't this sound just like a news article? You ever gotten up in the morning and something's going on someplace in the world, and boy, you just hear, and they're reporting this all over the place, but they don't have any details. And long about lunchtime, they've got further details. They've got some eyewitnesses. And then by that evening, the story is full-blown, and boy, you get an explanation of what's going on. And we see that all the time, don't we? So we see here the story is developing. And now their minds were open. Look at verse 36 through 49. As they were saying these things, he himself stood in the midst. He said to them, peace be to you. But they were startled and terrified, and they thought they were seeing a ghost. Now, that's understandable. I don't know if I believe in ghosts. Some of my friends tell me there's a Miss Rock Hill that's runs around this building sometimes, and they said they've heard her. I think they maybe talked to her, but I've been here often by myself. I've never encountered her yet. Maybe it's a spiritual encounter. I don't know. And peace be to you, but they were startled and terrified, and they thought they were seeing a ghost. Why are you troubled, he asked them, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see. Because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. Having said this, he showed them his hands and feet, but while they were amazed and in disbelief because of their joy, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it. He took it, and he ate in their presence. And he told them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand. Now, folks, that's where we want to get in our Bible study and Bible reading. Sometimes we just have to stop and think. You say, well, there's much of the Scripture that I don't always understand. Just stay with that you do understand. We have our hands full with what we do understand, right? But they're minds were opened, and the Spirit of God is speaking to them now. And notice what he goes on to say. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. He also said to them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, that word repentance is a key word for us. That just means that you come to an encounter with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, as you invite Jesus into your heart, you make an about face. Have you made that about face in your life? Now, listen to me. Are you truly saved? See, I think I'm saved, Pastor, but the Bible says you can know that you're saved in 1 John 5:13. John said, that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to hope so, maybe. But listen, you ought to know so today. That's important to you. Well, I'm going to take my chances. I believe I am, but I'm going to take. You don't want to take your chance. But if you're truly saved, you're going to comprehend, you're going to understand the importance of forgiveness of sins. Proclaimed in his name. And look at verse 48. You are witnesses of these things. And look, I am sending you what my Father promised. We're not going to take time, but you go to Acts chapter 1. It'll begin with that promise. Luke, again, he'll say, remember the Father promised you, stay in Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Spirit. So they stay in Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit descends upon them. Stay in the city until you are empowered from on high. And so you have him continuing the process. And the very last point there, look at that with me. The opened heaven. See, the heavens are going to open now, and he's going to ascend. And let me encourage you as we wind down here, let me encourage you to listen to me very carefully on verses 50 through 53. Now think about this. They have found this open tomb. Jesus has opened the scriptures to them. He's opened their eyes and he's opened their minds. He's brought them to this place of comprehension. And see how they react in the last few verses. Then he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven. Boy, that'd be an experience, wouldn't it? You say, well, you think it really happened that way? I think it happened exactly like you said. I think while he's blessing them, he started ascending to heaven. Because he had already taught them in John 14 and John 16, hey, I'm going to be leaving you someday, but I am going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to indwell you, and he's going to live along with you. And God, the Holy Spirit, is going to always be there to teach you and to bring conviction. In verse 51, and while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven. After worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple doing what? Praising God. Do you have a joyful heart today? You say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through this week. You don't know. You can still have a joyful heart. What's Romans 12:12 say? Rejoicing in hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in this message right here. Our hope is in a resurrected Savior. Our hope is in absent from the body, present with the Lord. Our hope is John 14, 1 through 6. There is a heaven. And if you're truly saved, you're going to go there. And Jesus said, I've gone ahead to prepare a place for you. See, I ascended back to heaven. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. 1 John 2, I'm there to make intercession for you. I'm there on your behalf. When Satan tells lies on you, I'm there to clear it up. No, they've received Jesus as their personal Savior. Their sins are under the blood of Christ. Boy, what a tremendous reminder for us. Our hearts ought to be filled with joy. Regardless of the circumstances, we've all gone through terrible circumstances. But your joy doesn't come because, your joy comes because Jesus lives within you and you know it's true and you know that this story's true and you know the Holy Spirit's within your heart. And you know there's life after death because he resurrected from the dead. And he tells you in 1 Corinthians 15 that you're going to have that glorified body just like him. And so he closes with this message of joy and praising God. Do you have God's praise in your heart? Let's leave here today praising God. Amen. I mean, right now as I'm closing, you ought to just quietly say to the Lord, God, I thank you for the resurrection. I thank you for teaching me the death, the burial, the resurrection. And I know in my heart that when I take my last breath, I'm going to be in your presence. And for those loved ones who are saved and know the gospel, I'm going to see them one day. Notice my conclusion. Jerusalem was a destination for Jesus, but it was not the end of the journey for his disciples. The journey of Christ to Jerusalem led the journey of his gospel to the nations and to us. Someone started a ministry planting churches, and it's called Acts 29. Isn't that good? At the end of Acts, Paul's life is over, and you know, but the story continues. You see, that's why you and I are here today. The story continues. And I just ask you in closing, what story is going on in your heart and in your life because of your Savior? Are you committed to obedience to what you know the Word of God says? Today we reach the end of the journey to Jerusalem. Are you ready to continue the journey from Jerusalem as you take the gospel to others? What might that look like over the next few days? Are you ready? Are we going to leave here as missionaries today, those of us who know Christ? We're going to leave here today as missionaries because our journey is still going, and it's greater than the little things that we let get in the way, because we're going to leave here asking Jesus to lead us to someone who needs to come to church, someone who needs to be saved, someone who needs the gospel. What's that look like for you today? What's that look like for you next week? What's that look like for you next month? I wonder if next year, if the Lord tarries, we're having another Easter service, and I wonder if we could have a testimony time and some folks would stand up and say, boy, I believe in that changed life, and I believe that God has something for me in this past year. Bang, bang, bang. Wouldn't that be exciting? Next year, we just have a testimony service. But that's not going to happen if we don't believe in the Holy Spirit bringing a changed life to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for the blessings that we enjoy because of our personal relationship with you. And Lord, I'm sure that in a crowd like this, there are some who have never received Christ as their Savior. I pray that they'll evaluate that now. I'm sure that there are some that name the name of Christ, but they know that they're not walking with the Lord. They know they need to make a rededication and get on the right side of what they know God has for them. Life is so short. Our time on this earth is so short, Lord, in light of eternity. I pray that as we close today, there will be some who will say, Pastor, I need a change in my life and a change in my heart. And listen, I'm joining you in that because we need that daily and weekly, monthly, yearly. We need to go through a change in this journey and keep our hearts warm so that we don't get hardened, we don't drift away, and we don't get hardened to the Word of God. I pray that you'll speak to us in that way. Let me ask you to stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed, and Valerie's going to continue to play. I'm going to ask you if there's anyone today who needs to pray. Maybe you're here as a Christian and God has laid it on your heart to make some recommitments to the Lord. Or maybe you're here today and the Lord has spoken to you about salvation and you need to you need someone to take the Bible and show you how to go to heaven. I wonder if you'd just slip out of your seat and come down. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll be glad to meet you down here. Would you come if the Lord is speaking to you? Father, we thank you for the word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.